Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 13, the Gospel of John chapter 13. And as a congregation, we've been working our way through the Gospel of John. This morning, we find ourselves at the very end of chapter 13. And this morning's sermon is entitled, The New Command, taken from verse 34, in which Jesus declares to us the new command. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word as we read it in John chapter 13, the verses 31 through 38. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I now tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Thus the reading of God's word from John chapter 13, verses 31 through 38. For most Christians, the most familiar verse in John chapter 13 is the new command verse given in verse 34. "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." It is from this verse that the historic church has labeled the Thursday before Good Friday as Maundy Thursday. Maundy is taken from the Latin words mandatum novum, which literally means new command. In Middle English, the Latin word was translated Maundy, and thus the label Maundy Thursday or New Command Thursday. Now, some churches take the wording of this verse very literally. Since it is Maundy Thursday, and they look at the context of our passage, and they read what Jesus tells them in verses 14 and 15, they interpret that and practice that literally. Jesus tells us in those verses, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you as an example that you should do as I have done for you." Jesus washed his disciples' feet on Maundy Thursday. He tells us that we are to wash one another's feet as he has washed his disciples' feet. And thus on Maundy Thursday, these churches will host a foot washing ceremony in fulfillment of Jesus' new command in verse 34. There are other churches which have traditionally interpreted this verse or this new command a little less literally, but nevertheless in a way that Maundy Thursday is still celebrated. Thus, on the Thursday before Good Friday, they look at these verses in the context of the Last Supper, that the meal being celebrated is the Last Supper, and thus on Maundy Thursday, they have a service, a Maundy Thursday service, in which they celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Now, certainly, there's nothing wrong with that. This new command to be done on Maundy Thursday to have the Lord's Supper, nothing wrong with that. In fact, on occasion at Sovereign Grace OPC, when the facility was not available for a Good Friday service, we have hosted in the past a Maundy Thursday service with the sacrament taking place on Maundy Thursday. But the question we are to ask this morning as we look carefully at this verse, is that really what Jesus means by the new command? Is the new command to have a foot washing ceremony on the Thursday before Good Friday? Or is the new command that we gather together for worship and a service of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper on the Thursday before Good Friday? Or does God, through His Holy Spirit, have something else in mind concerning this new command? Well, if you look at the verses which follow the instructions, the new command, or I mean the phrases that follow that verse, you can see that what the Lord is describing here is certainly love, but we interpret that love differently. Verse 34, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." Is the love that Jesus commanding to do to wash one another's feet? Is the love that Jesus is commanding us to is to have a service of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? This love, this question of what is new, is a very good question to ask and one we seek to solve as we go through our sermon this morning. The question we are asking is, what is new? What is Jesus commanding us in this verse, or what is He stating in this verse that is a new command that has not been said before? One way to look at this verse is to go back to a place in the Old Testament where a similar command is given. In this verse we read, "Love one another," verse 34 of John 13. It ends, "Love one another." We also see the phrase repeated again at the end of verse 35, "Love one another." Three times we're instructed to love one another. But the Old Testament also has a place in the Old Testament law in which we are instructed to love one another. One such place is found in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. The law of Moses from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, in that verse we are instructed to love one another. Let me read that for you. "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." God is instructing us in His Old Testament law that they are to love their neighbor as themselves. Very similar to what we find in John, as Jesus has stated, the new command. We are to love our neighbors. We are to love those around us. We are to treat others and to love them as God commands. Not much new from the book of Leviticus to what Jesus is telling us in John chapter 14. But what is new about this command is the era in which Jesus is instructing us concerning this command. In the Old Testament, as they thought of loving one another, they understood love to a certain extent to be required because God had said it. But now, this is a different era. In the Old Testament, what the believers were commanded to do, they did not fully understand the richer meaning of what that kind of love meant and as God's love applied to them. As they brought their sacrifices to the altar, they would see love from God being expressed to them in the forgiveness of sins and in the death of that animal. But that love had not reached its fullness, its climax. Not the kind of fullness in the era in which Jesus speaks. Notice in this new command, love one another, verse 34. At the end of the verse, you must love one another. But what do we find in the center? As I have loved you. In the Old Testament, the instruction in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, love one another as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. But now in this new command, in this new era fulfilled in Jesus Christ, God's Son who has come to earth, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Remember the context of our chapter? Remember last week when we laid out for you the structure of John chapter 13 and we said it's laid out concerning the verily, verily I say unto yous, or in my Bible, the I tell you the truth phrases. And we pointed out the structuring of each time that phrase is used and how it separates the middle from the outer layers, the outer dialogues of John chapter 13. And what did we find in the middle? Verse 19. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am He. You see, in this new era, as Jesus is describing the, quote, new command, He is describing something that no one in the Old Testament has understood or has ever witnessed. That God Himself, the I Am, the I Am who spoke to Abraham, the I Am who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and said, I am who I am. God Himself has come to earth, has got down on His knees and washed His disciples' feet, and is set to head to the cross and to die on that cross and to pay for their sins. And so in this context, as Jesus speaks of the new command is love one another, not your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as I have loved you. As Jesus, God Himself, has come to earth, as Jesus has washed their feet and demonstrated His humility, the Son of God doing the most least task of a servant in washing their dirty, dusty, smelly feet. As God Himself will soon go to the cross to be glorified and to die on that cross and suffer that humiliating death. As I have loved you, love one another. Notice it doesn't say, love one another as they love you. No, it starts with your love, which flows out of God's love for you. And as that love is expressed and demonstrated in this world, what does Jesus say in verse 35? By this all men will know that you are my disciples. Through your love for one another, because as believers you love one another as Christ loved you, the world around will see that Christ is still alive, that Christ is present in this world, that through your love, your self-sacrificing love, a love that the world does not know or does not understand, this kind of love will demonstrate Christ's love so that everyone will know that you belong to Him. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. But you know, there is something else about this command which is different from the other places that Jesus talks about love. In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus also speaks of a kind of love that believers are to have for others. You notice that in Mark chapter 12, as a teacher hears Jesus debating and talking about different aspects of the law, he notices that Jesus gives a good answer, verse 28 of Mark 12, and the teacher asks, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus answers, well, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The kind of love of which Jesus is speaking of in Mark 12 is different in John 13. It's about loving others, but John 12 is about loving your neighbor as yourself. That could include outsiders, those outside of the church, and to love them as you think of yourself. But now in the context of this new command in John 13, Jesus is speaking of a love of one another as I have loved you. The kind of love of Christ is being demonstrated. He is going to the cross. He is going to die on the cross. He has demonstrated it through his washing of his disciples' feet. And now believers are to love one another that way. And as they love one another that way, they will bring glory to God and to his people. Now, some of you might be saying to yourself at this point, okay, Pastor, that's great. We're to love one another as Christ has loved us. But we need some examples. No, we don't go to a cross like Jesus went to the cross. We don't do that. We don't have to love like that. Washing one another's feet. People wear shoes today. We don't walk around in sandals. We don't have a foot washing take place before people come into our house because they've been wearing sandals and they've been walking in the street where the animals have pooped all over the road and where their feet come in smelly and dirty. So give us some examples of this kind of love. Help us understand the kind of love that Christ had for us and tell us some things to do. But you see, that's what the Pharisees were doing during the time of our Lord. The Pharisees had the law of God. They had the Old Testament law. And along with that Old Testament law, they added all kinds of little rules and regulations that they were required to keep to make sure that they would be faithful to that law. On the Sabbath, they made sure that they didn't walk too many steps. Even when Jesus, earlier in the Gospel of John, heals a man on the Sabbath, they challenge him and they say, "You shouldn't have done that on the Sabbath. You've broken the law of God and you're worthy of death." All throughout this Gospel, they have been challenging Jesus himself, God's Son, on his law-keeping. Because as they've been given the law, they added all kinds of rules and requirements in keeping that law to show that they were being faithful so that they would feel good within themselves that they had kept the law and were doing what is right. But Jesus said to them, "Your hearts are far from God." That's one of the themes of the entire first half of the Gospel of John. They're accusing Jesus of not being faithful to their rules and regulations that they have added on to their law and to their commands. And now they're confronting him and saying, "You are worthy of death because you say you are from the Father and we don't know the Father." But Jesus said, "You may be keeping the law, but your hearts are far from God." What does he mean by that? As he speaks in the context of this new command, where's the application? Tell us what we're supposed to do. Sometimes at the Van Coten household, we tell the kids to pick up their room. And after a while, we go in to look and see how they've done, and things are kind of half picked up here and half picked up there, and there's still more work to be done. So what do we say? Their heart was not in it. We told them to pick up their room. They went and did some things in picking up their room in fulfilling the command or the instruction. But then do we really have to go and say, now you need to do this too, and you need to do this too, and you need to do this too, and if you do all those things, then you have done what's right. But we still know their heart was not in it. You see, what Jesus is speaking about in this new command is not for him to lay out, and you notice he doesn't do it, a whole list of practical ways that you can love one another as he has loved you. What he's talking about is the heart. What he's talking about is what we read earlier from the Gospel of Mark. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest command. Don't come to me as Pharisees and say, tell us all these practical things we have to do and we'll do all those things and we'll say, we have kept the law. What he's talking about is a heart that's after God. A heart which, because it loves God, doesn't have to be told how to love God. It flows from that heart. This is what the prophet Jeremiah was speaking of in Jeremiah chapter 31 as Jeremiah prophesied concerning the new era. The new era that Jesus would come to bring. Now remember how we started out today. Not a new command, because in the Old Testament they were taught to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself. But as Jeremiah prophesied in the future concerning the new era, concerning the new covenant, he understood what this new covenant and the obedience to that new covenant would consist of. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. That's the time of Jesus. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their minds. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. You see, Jeremiah is prophesying about a law which is not outward, in which God's people, because God spelled it all out for them by detail in the Bible of how they should do each and every little thing, and if they did all those things, just like the Pharisees were saying, you were somehow right with God. No, this is a love and obedience which comes from the heart. That the law of God is on your mind because you love God, not because you think you have to do it to love God. You love God, and so it's on your mind. You know how to think. You know how to live because it is on your heart. You love God because Christ went to the cross for you and died for you on that cross. And so because you know what Christ did for you, you do not demand of others to do things for you. You love them as Christ loved you. You see the difference? So often we look at others around us, and because of our own pride, our own interests, we look at others and think, they're not doing this, or they should be doing this, or how come they're not doing this? But that's not the new command. The new command is love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. The context of this verse is the context of our Lord leading the way. His washing His disciples' feet, His going to the cross, and that we are called because of what He has done for us and loved us to love one another in that same way that He has loved us, so people around the world can look at us and say, we know they belong to Christ because of how they deal with and treat one another. Now, this morning, I could have concluded this sermon with a list of instructions. Husbands, you need to love your wives. Here's how you do it. Bring her a flower. Make dinner once in a while. Wives, you need to love your husbands. Make sure the house is clean. Take care to make sure that a meal is provided every night and that he has what he needs. And you go home and you say, okay, he did it for me, just like Pastor said. Or she did it for me, just like Pastor said. But how do you know that the person did it because they love you or because they were simply told to do it? That's the kind of love that Jesus is speaking about in this new command. The kind of love in which someone demonstrates their love for God and their love for one another, which flows out of their love for God, which is a willingness to give of themselves, to do the most humbling of tasks for each other, and to do it because they love God. Sometimes it may mean sacrifice of self. Sometimes it may mean giving up your own personal comfort or what you desire. But in this new command, as Christians live it, as Christians do it, they will demonstrate the kind of love that the world does not know. A love which is of God, which is of Christ, which flows out of the new era that God has brought in through His Son, Jesus Christ. Go and obey the new command. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the Gospel of John and the new command that our Lord has given us. For in the context of our passage, Father, we understand the meaning of this new command. You have commanded us to love you and to love those around us as we love you. Help us, O God, not to think of ourselves. Help us, O God, not to look at others and think what they must do for us. But that, Lord, our love is because you loved us. Help us, Lord, to understand this kind of love through your work in our hearts. That as we understand it, as we live it, as we know this kind of love, we are not jealous of others. We are not demanding of others, but Lord, giving of others. May we, O God, live this kind of love so the world around us may see and know that our Savior has come and that He is still alive, resurrected in heaven, and present in our hearts. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.